or Lee Red.
Oh, God. Right, should we start?
Yeah.
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 Let's start. We'll
bring the stars out.
Oh, what a callback joke.
Yeah.
That feels like a lifetime ago.
I think that every time one of us goes, yeah. I just want to go, bring the stars out.
Oh, see, I always think of the Phones For You advert still.
Oh, yeah. Well, you told me about that once, and I don't think I remember it.
If I can find it, I'll send it to you, because then you'd be like, oh, that sounds exactly like that.
Okay.
That will make you happy, I guess it.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure it will.
All right, let's start. Fuck it, hell.
Let's bloody start. Hello, welcome to this week's episode of Poorly Read.
Yeah, the podcast where we talk about 90s adverts and the effect they had on our development.
Yeah. I mean, we actually do talk about that sometimes.
So 90s adverts were a special kind of advert, though, because like everyone was watching TV at that time. You know,
yeah,
that's
like
when,
the
like,
peak of TV advertising.
Yeah, like Saturday nights, everyone was at home watching like Noel's House Party and
Top of the Pops.
Yeah, Top of the Pops was on a Friday, I think.
Well, whatever. So I don't remember. I don't have like a computer grade memory of the 90s like you do. Yeah, you're like a living time capsule.
I love that. A living time capsule. Wow. But not even for the whole 90s, like a very like specific period, I feel.
Yeah, well, I mean, the early 90s have got to be a bit of a blur.
Yeah, and an Oasis and even a Pulp.
That was good. I like that.
Oh, God.
Well done.
Ah, thank you, thank you. so how do we begin?
I think you sing a song, don't you?
Oh,
come on, it's the last one.
Oh, it is the last one. Okay, hold on, let me think.
Oh, God, you've never had this much thinking time before.
I know, I'm trying to think of something that is, like, finale appropriate. Okay, this is shit, but it's the only thing I can think. Okay, Order of the Phoenix. It's the final song. So I'll do a little dance in a sexy little thong.
Nailed it.
Oh, God. Yeah. I'm sure that everyone will miss my terrible fucking opening book song. Yes. Fucking hell.
All right. So we begin.
Yes.
We begin the beginning of the end.
I feel a bit sad.
Just in general, or because this book's ended?
Always. No, just I like this book has been. I've liked this book a lot.
Yeah, me too.
And so, sort of reaching. And also, I've been amazed at how quickly this book has actually moved along. Like, although it's very long, things seem to be over in a flash at like all points of this book. And I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah.
Like, even like this whole like 3-chapter arc is over so quickly, really, like in terms of what actually happens in each of them.
I know what you mean. It does sort of get to the point that like a lot happens and it is kind of crammed in, although there's stuff like Grawp, which I guess could be, we sort of discussed last week how we think Grawp could probably be axed if she really tried.
Yeah, I wonder why she, that's such a, I feel like Grawp might have been a massive afterthought, like she thought of it while she was writing.
Do you know what
it.
I think it was maybe the opposite. I think she had the idea for Grawp really early on,
yeah,
and knew that it wanted to be in the book, but as was writing, all the other stuff in the book became a smaller and smaller thing, but hung on to it and really wanted to keep it in there.
Yeah, that might make more sense, actually. I can believe that. Yeah, maybe he was a bigger thing at one point. I might actually do a bit of research on that and see if she's said anything about it.
Yeah.
Do you know what would be interesting, actually, is for her to do like a Harry Potter interview now, sort of like 10, 15 years after the fact, and like be able to be like really real about it. Because, like, she did a lot of interviews when Book 7 came out, and then she was so relieved that she could finally talk about everything. But, obviously, it was still sort of in, like, the, like, aura of trying to sell this book. And now it's kind of all done and dusted. I wonder if there's things that she would say now that she maybe didn't feel that she could have said back then. So I think that'd be quite interesting to do, like, a really, like, in-depth interview with her just to see what she says.
Yeah.
I think I'd like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I wonder if she owns up to anything.
She's probably like, do you know what? I didn't actually write any of this. I have a malformed cousin that I kept in my basement, and she wrote everything. But we needed to put a pretty face to it, so here we go. And everyone's like, if you were the pretty face of your family, I can't even imagine.
Ooh.
Oh no, I think she's quite sexy actually. she's the kind of, if she was like your teacher at school, like I feel like you'd have like a bit of a secret crush on her.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
You bring the stars out.
Right, let's begin.
All right, chapter 36, the only one he ever feared.
Yes. Dumbledore in his huge schlong coming to the fray.
Blasting his air horn.
I should maybe have that air horn ready because maybe I could use it at different points in this chat.
So. There's a lot of Dumbledore throughout this.
Oh, goodness,
although it's a lot of Humbledore.
So, wow, coin! Fucking hell, I love that. Yeah, you're so right. But it's the kind of like, I think to me it feels a bit of like a humble brag. Like, he owns up to things in a way that I feel like he wants a pat on the back for owning up to it, you know?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Well, he does still have some quips.
Yes, he does. Right, so Harry refuses to believe that Sirius is gone. He thinks that Sirius is just hiding behind that little flappy curtain.
Yeah. He's just trapped in the flaps.
I was like, Sirius, it's okay to come out now. I've been trapped in the flaps, but if you hold your breath and plunge forward, you can escape.
Honestly, you don't know what Hogwarts is like now.
It's very different since Armando Dippin has been in charge, I promise you. Oh, wait, hold on. Was Dumbledore headmaster when the Marauders were at school?
Don't know. Because Armando Dippet was when Tom Riddle was at school.
Yeah, and that's when Hagrid was at school. So,
which was 50 years ago.
Yeah, because like, Sirius is only like our age, isn't he?
Yeah. What age were Lily and James when they had Harry?
Like 20.
Like 20?
Yeah.
So they're like, they'd be like 35 now.
Okay.
35, 36, 35, yeah.
That's so, I can't imagine us doing any of the stuff they do in this book.
Well, the adults, you mean?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I know. It's because they're all so clearly adults. And it's like, yeah, they're in their 30s, therefore adults. Like, what's the issue? Like, well.
Yeah. I don't know about you, but I don't ever hear Sirius talking about an advert from his childhood. Oh, God. To be fair, Sirius has been in Azkaban, so prison will, you know, like, toughen you up.
That's true.
Lupin is, you know, living through the AIDS crisis, so, like... Yeah, so Lupin's like, oh, he can't come back, Harry, he's dead.
And he's like, no, you go fuck yourself, you fucking werewolf.
And Lupin's like, Harry.
Harry. Have this little piece of chocolate.
This tastes funny.
That's because it's not chocolate, Harry.
It's my special homemade fudge. I call it were-fudge. And Harry's like...
Just don't eat it on a full moon.
Only eat it on a total eclipse. Ah.
See, adverts from the 90s.
Oh my God, yeah, I wasn't even doing it on purpose then. you know what is a sick advert from the 90s? Do you remember the Guinness advert with the horses in the waves?
Yeah, vaguely.
And the guys are like surfing. It's like, and then it's tick, follow tock, follow tick.
Oh, yeah.
Ding, 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 ding. Like, yeah, that was good. Anyway, yeah, so Dumbledore rounds up most of the remaining Death Eaters and binds them with invisible jizzy robes. And everyone stays put.
Yeah, it congeals instantly. Yeah, Neville comes over. He's like, yeah, if we think everyone's all right. Hermione's unconscious. Ron was attacked by a brain, but we think he's all right. And I'm like, what are you basing that on? But yeah, Ron, last time we saw Ron was being like these brains that had tentacles coming out was being wrapped by one and like taken down to the floor.
The
and
brain
like,
was like, boom, boom, ch-ka-boom.
was that rapping?
Yeah. Oh, God.
Because I'm not sure you know what rapping is.
Yes, rapping. It's when you go boom, boom, shh into a microphone, right?
Yes.
Yeah, but he's like, was that Sirius Black? Was he a friend of yours, Harry? I'm so sorry. And Harry's like, yeah, he was.
Yeah.
And that sort of interaction seemed really out of place to me.
Yeah, it does seem weird.
It seems like something that Neville should have asked him after everything was over.
I guess, but then Neville's never been one for social cues, has he?
So Kingsley is still battling Bellatrix.
Yeah, he stepped in to fill in for Sirius.
Yes, and then she hightails it out of there and Dumbledore like tries to like jinx her back. But Harry's like, no, and he like takes off after her.
Yeah.
And he's like, Harry, no. But he's like, no, she killed my parents. I mean, Sirius. Sorry.
I mean, someone she killed. She's a fucking bitch anyway. Let me get her.
Stop saying bitch, trolley wallop.
She's an evil trolley wallop.
So yeah, like he follows her like kind of all the way out of like the secret rooms and shit like that. And into the lift, and then they don't get in the lift together because that'd be weird.
Yeah, they're like, there's no attempt at small talk.
Yeah, like, dun, dun, da, dun, dun,
dun, dun, dun, so dun. So when we get up to the atrium, are we gonna? Oh yeah, just you wait. All right, here we go. Okay, you go to that end.
Oh, God. I don't think anyone would truly appreciate that, but that might be my favourite like visual of this entire book. So, yeah, like they get into the atrium and Bellatrix like taunts him. It's like, oh, did I kill your, like, whatever?
When?
She says stuff to him to hurt his feelings, basically.
Yeah, she's a meanie.
Yeah.
That's kind of her whole deal, though, I guess.
Yeah, she's like a special kind of bad. She really gets off on just like the pain and the misery.
Yeah, which she sure does. Makes a mess everywhere.
She's the only one who likes the knife penis from Seven. So they get into the atrium, and then Harry tries to crucio her.
Yeah, and she screams for a minute, and then sort of throws it off, and then is like, You need to mean it with unforgivables, Potter. You need to really feel the hatred and want to enjoy hurting someone. Straight up anger won't hurt me for long.
Yeah, which I thought, like, that's something I wasn't expecting from that curse. Like, it's weird that the curse is, like, innately that dastardly, you know?
Dastardly.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because usually it's like, oh, it's not the spell that's good or bad, it's how you use it. But that's actually, like, a bad spell if you need to want to inflict the pain for it to be a thing.
Yeah, but it seems like with magic, you just kind of train your mind to do these sort of tricks. Like, in the way you have to, it's hard when you first try to conjure up a really happy thought, but you can just, for a Patronus... Mm-hmm. But you just kind of get better and better at it to the point where Harry can almost just do it on command now.
I guess so. But I mean, like, I remember he struggled to make a Patronus in book 7 because like he couldn't think of like a happy enough thought.
Hmm.
And that was like, I always thought that was a bit weird, like, because in the moment when you need it the most, that would be the hardest time to think of a happy thought. It's a bit of, like, yeah. I don't like that aspect to that spell.
Why it's a tricky one.
Also, I'm holding my microphone a bit like it's a flute right now.
I see that.
Oh, God. So he's crouching behind, like, the statue of Magical Brethren in the middle. And he's trying to curse her, but she's, like, deflecting it because she's, like, super good at magic.
She's super good at magic, you guys.
And she's asking for the prophecy, but he's like, it's gone! And Voldemort knows it.
Yeah, because Harry feels a big burst in his scar as soon as he cries out, it's gone, it's smashed.
Yeah, and she's like, no, you lie! And he's like, no, nah. I don't lie. And then she's trying to, like, Accio it, finally. She's like, Accio prophecy! Accio. And I was like, fucking hell, you're about, like, 2 hours too late, you idiot.
Yeah.
Also, do you know what? Lucius should have just accioed it as soon as Harry had taken it off of the shelf.
Yeah, rather than go and give that to me. As soon as you saw him take it off the shelf, just accio it before that he'd even stepped out.
Yeah, accio the prophecy and then just Avada Kedavra'd all of them.
Yeah.
And then literally everything would have been, like, fine from Voldemort's perspective.
Not fine. Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of supervillain, we're going to talk to you and give you all the opportunities you need to escape going on.
Yeah, that's so true. It's a bit like Bond villainy.
Yeah, it is very much, isn't it?
But don't you feel like we say that a lot at the end of each book?
Yeah, there's a lot of it going on throughout the series, I think.
But yeah, she begs the heir for forgiveness, for not like the actual heir. That'd be weird.
The heir of Slytherin.
Oh, okay, yeah. We'll go with that. And then Harry goes, save your breath, he can't hear you from here.
Voldemort, like, can't I?
Oh, can't I?
And he appears in the atrium, and for a second I thought the atrium said, not that it said anal, but that it said something along those lines.
Something bummy.
Yeah, something bummy.
Voldemort appeared in the general rectal space.
Something bummy sounds sort of like a Chaz and Dave song, didn't it? Well, you're feeling kind of funny then. You got something bummy in your mouth. Oh, something bummy in your mouth. That sounds rank. Sorry.
Does it?
I apologise for that lyric.
Something bummy in your mouth.
Kind of funny. You got something kind of bummy in your mouth.
Spit it out, spit it out.
Yeah, so Voldemort is pissed.
He pissed off.
Yeah, it's like, all those years of planning wasted.
Yes, and Bella's like, sorry, Master, I was fighting the Animagus Black. I'm like, that's a weird way of saying it.
Is that what she says?
Yeah.
Why is he saying it like that?
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, Fry, why are you doing this to me?
Well, that's not Fry, is it?
It is.
What do you mean? No, the fact that she refers to Sirius Black as the Animagus Black.
Oh, are you just pronouncing Animagus weird?
Oh, yeah.
That's what I was referring to.
Oh. No, okay, well, that's me then. I don't know how to pronounce that.
Yeah, you're right. That is weird, isn't it? Maybe she was hoping that by reminding Voldemort that he was an Animagus, that would excuse why she was battling him or something. Like, oh, he can turn into a dog. That makes him, like, extra, like, slippery.
Yeah, that means he was extra hard to fight, so I couldn't concentrate. And Voldemort's like, well, I mean, he's an Animagus, so fair play.
Yes, they're notoriously difficult to cast a spell at.
Yes, keep notoriously on changing heights, separate.
You see.
Can't catch them in your flaps. After a little bit of supervillain exposition, Harry throws Avada Kedavra at Harry.
Yeah, I kind of liked that he was just sick of Harry's shit.
And just went straight for it.
Yeah, it was like, I have nothing more to say. You have fucked me off too many times. And yeah, then Avada Kedavra's Harry, and Harry's like, fuck! But then, centaurs. And the statue comes to life and blocks it, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And then Harry is sure he can hear the unmistakable sound. Hey.
Dumbledore's like, what's Dumbledore's song? Dumbledore hasn't got a song.
Go on then.
I'll do it. Hold on. Okay, hold on. I feel like it needs to sort of be like a gangster rap tune.
Like one of those like big, chunky DMX kind of beats.
Yeah. Oh, I can't get the words together. They just sound shit. I was literally like, Dumbledore, and I'm here in the room. I may be late, but I never come too soon. And Harry's like, yeah, I think it needs work.
Yeah.
And Dumbledore's like, no, that's a number one record we have there. And Harry's like, maybe in Germany, but
maybe in some of the more underground clubs.
Yeah. And Dumbledore's like, what about this one? Dumb, Dumbledore does it. And I was like, no. But Dumbledore's like, oh, but you haven't got to the bit where I go techno. Harry's like, let's not. I don't know if you've noticed, but Voldemort's here. Yeah, so then him and Voldemort start making spells at each other. Yeah.
To use the correct terminology.
Yeah, because Hagrid is narrating this. So, Dumbledore and Voldy started making spells at each other.
Yeah, they use it like Dumbledore's animating the statues and stuff. And I thought they were going to have like a Godzilla kaiju fight thing.
Oh, that would have been so sick.
Yeah, but they don't.
Dumbledore makes one of the statues pin Bellatrix to the ground.
Yeah.
And then he makes another one charge Voldemort, and Dumbledore sort of doing like big spells but none that are like killy spells, and Voldemort's like, ah, you're not trying to kill me, Dumbledore. And Dumbledore's like, oh, there's other ways of destroying a man, Tom.
There's nothing worse than death.
Yeah, and then he's like, to Voldemort, your failure to understand there are things much worse than death has always been your greatest weakness. And Voldemort's like, and then does a Avada Kedavra, and then forks appear.
Yeah, that's your answer to everything, Voldemort.
Voldemort, we run out of milk. Ah, Avada Kedavra.
That's a great visual. One of the Death Eaters running up to Voldemort. Okay, Voldemort, we run out of milk. Must I take care of everything?
Damn it, now I've got a dead body by my fridge. And I've got no milk.
Nagini, bring your teats over here.
Tangy bowl of Cocoa Pops. Just like the Malfoy is just like over in the corner staring at him, be like, I wish he would just leave. So yeah, so Forks swallows the curse. As yes. He often does, Tom. And he turns into little baby Forks.
Yep.
And then...
do you think a phoenix can ever just fully die then?
I don't think so, you know. I think they are, like, properly immortal.
I wonder how phoenix, like, reproduction works.
Maybe they don't reproduce. So maybe they're just, like, magically created somehow.
Yeah.
By, like, a really, like, rare, like, turn of events creates a phoenix.
Yes.
I think it's something like that.
Yeah, let's go with that.
Yeah. Maybe Dumbledore just created Forks in a lab, and then so there'll be never another phoenix again.
Yeah, he's the only one.
Yeah. Oh, what a lonely existence, man.
I mean, it's pretty lonely existence anyway, isn't it?
That's true. He's only got Dumbledore to talk to.
Yeah.
Fucking
Dumbledore up. And his weird instruments.
So today we're going to do a new experiment, Forks. It's called How Deep Can You Go Before the Bird Dies?
Okay. Don't worry, you'll be reborn from the pile of ashes. And then we can try all over again.
go on the forks is like, and Dumbledore's like, yeah, so I don't know if that's a happy sound or a sad sound, but either way, I like the vibration it makes.
Look, if it really hurts, just cry on yourself and you'll be fine.
But don't cry on the slit. So yeah, like the spells that follow that pretty much are the same that are in the film.
Yeah, Harry, yeah, fucking what happens in the end? Dumbledore sort of fucks over Voldemort, and then Harry, I said, Harry thinks Voldemort's gone, and so he steps out, and Harry's like, Dumbledore's like, get back, Harry.
Let's get back in your cage. And yeah, Harry's scar bursts open, but not for real, just metaphorically.
Yeah. He's, yeah, in, like, absolute pain, and he's in...
Harry Scar bursts open because Bellatrix just shot him in the back of the head with a revolver. It's like, this is what you should have done fucking 15 years ago. Never mind all this magic malarkey.
Yeah, yeah, mother's love can't protect you from that, can it, boy?
That, I would have loved that so much, just because it would have been so unexpected.
Yeah, so then Harry is in the sort of thrall of a creature with red eyes, and it speaks through Harry's mouth and says, kill me now, Dumbledore. If death is nothing, kill the boy to get me.
Yeah, and then Harry's like, oh, God, this hurts so much. Just do it, Dumbledore. Do it. I'll get to see Sirius again.
Oh, my God, this hurts so much. Dumbledore, it really hurts.
Dumbledore's like, just relax. I'll give your back a little rub. Oh, God. But yeah, as he thinks about Sirius, Voldemort's hold on him goes, and Voldemort goes.
Yes.
Dumbledore exorcises him.
Yes.
He's like, the power of Christ compels you. And then Voldemort flies out.
Harry's head spins around. He goes, blah. Yeah.
And Dumbledore's like, oh, I wanted to get to the bit where you said my mother sucks cocks in hell.
She does, you know.
See, hell is a little town off the coast of Wales. She makes a pretty penny.
Yes. She loves those roosters.
She is what the locals call the fisherman's friend.
So then Harry comes to and realizes that the room is full of people, and they're including the Minister for Magic.
Yeah, Judge Fudge.
Yes. Dumbledore gives him a stern word and is basically like, look, you fucking idiot, you saw it with your own eyes.
Oh, yeah, because the other, there's like a random guy that talks, and then he's like, he was right there, I saw him, Mr. Fudge, I swear it was you know who.
And Fudge is like, yes, I saw him as well.
Yeah, and then Dumbledore's like, if you go downstairs, you'll find several escaped Death Eaters bound by my amazing, magical, invisible spooge. And Fudge is like, wow, you're very self-congratulatory. He's like, yeah. Of course, I'm Dumbledore. And then, yeah, he says, Cornelius, I'm ready to fight your men and win again. You saw proof that Voldemort has returned, and it's time you saw sense. And Fudge is flabbergasted.
Yes, and Dumbledore, Fudge is like, surprised to see Harry. He's like, what's going on? And Dumbledore makes a portkey out of the head of a statue, and Fudge is like, now, see here, Dumbledore, you don't have a license for that portkey. You can't just do that in front of the minister. And Dumbledore just straight ignores him, and
yeah,
just
he goes,
is like...
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Fudge is like, oh, he did that thing with his neck again. yeah, and he says to Fudge, you will at once dismiss Dolores Umbridge and call off the search for Hagrid. And then I will give you 30 minutes of my time, and then I shall return to my school.
Yes, if you wish to reach me after that, you could do so there. Letters addressed to the headmaster will find me.
Yes, or leave a message on my answer machine.
Yes. And Fudge continues to be flabbergasted.
Yeah, and then Harry touches the head, and Dumbledore's like, ooh! And then he gives Harry the portkey and sends him back to Hogwarts.
Yes, we'll finish this in half an hour.
That's how long it would take me to recuperate. So yeah, then it goes into chapter 37.
The Lost Prophecy.
So he plonks into Dumbledore's office and he's sad about Sirius.
Yes.
Which is understandable because he's just died.
Yeah. I mean, he's, you know, he starts to blame himself for Sirius's death. And I'm like, well.
Yeah. Like, understandable. Really? Yeah. If I wish they had, like, magic mirrors in Hogwarts that spoke back to you. So Harry could have gone and looked in the mirror and be like, oh, it's all my fault. And the mirror would have been like, yeah, it fucking is, mate.
Well, they have magic portraits you can go and speak to.
That's true. He should have just gone to one of the headmasters and be like, it's all my fault. And they'd be like, of course it is, sir.
Yeah.
You killed Sirius and your parents. It's quite amazing, really.
Absolutely.
Let's see who you can pick off next.
I wonder if you can manage Dumbledore. We'll see where we are in a year's time.
Even if it has nothing to do with you, Harry, I want you to know that it's surely all your fault.
All of this is your fault, really.
Yes. There wouldn't even be a book. You are the title character. And then, yeah, Phineas asks Harry what he's doing there. He says, let me guess, another message for my worthless grandson. But then I don't know what prompted him to say that.
No, I guess Harry being in the office usually means they need to tell Sirius something.
Yeah, maybe. That makes sense, I guess.
Maybe.
So yeah, Dumbledore appears in the fireplace.
Yeah, he does. Puts baby Fawkes back in his cage. Reports that none of Harry's friends will suffer any long-term damage.
Yeah, and then he goes, and then sicks up food to feed to baby Fawkes.
And then just sits back down like...
And Harry's like, what? And everyone's like, well, I couldn't let him starve, could I? And Harry's like, I guess not. I mean, okay. you've got a little something on your chin.
So, oh, yes, Fawkes will get it in a minute.
And Harry's like, whoa, okay. Oh, God. And Dumbledore just presses his hands together and smiles kindly across the table.
Yeah. And all the portraits are like, oh, that was a big one. Well done.
Oh, that one had blood in it. Yeah. Yeah, so then he says all the DA members are fine.
Yeah.
Others are being tended to by healers or being taken to Mungo's. Saint yeah. Mungo's, Tom.
Yeah, not just his friend Mungo. I sent them over to Mungo's.
Yes, he's the one who manufactured my knife penis. And Harry's like, no. Yeah.
Yes, your friends won't suffer any long-term damage for now.
Yes, no long-term damage. They'll be dead in a jiffy. Yeah. He's like, oh, God. Dumbledore says, I know how you're feeling, Harry.
No, you don't. You haven't got a bloody clue how I'm feeling, you fucking old piece of shit wanker.
See, Harry, the fact that you can feel pain like
shut
this
up.
Is your great...
Shut up! I don't want to fucking hear it. I'll cut that fucking beard off you, you piece of shit.
Harry, a beard is a man's trophy. If a man has a big beard, he has a big penis. I mean, a big heart. Here, Harry, wrap the beard around your head. It'll give you great comfort. Harry's like, okay. So he goes and sits on Dumbledore's lap, and Dumbledore just wraps his head in his beard. And Harry's like, this smells weird. And Dumbledore's like, of course it does. I just threw up everywhere.
Yeah.
It's like, oh.
But now you look like you're from the Middle East. And we can play camels in the desert.
Yeah. Hey, Harry, let's have a game of snake charmer. So.
So here's a flute. I'll get under the desk and be the snake.
I will show you a whole new world, Harry. A new fantastic point of view. There's no one to tell us no.
Where to go?
Oh, say we're only dreaming. Oh, God. Yeah.
Harry's having a massive shit fit.
Yeah, has a whole episode, it feels, and Dumbledore is just, like, nodding, going, yes, quiet.
Yes, and then Harry tries to leave, and the door's locked. So, let me out. And Dumbledore's like, no. Like,
yeah. Not until I've had my way. I mean, my say.
Yeah.
Yes. And I was like, I don't care. And Dumbledore says, you will, because you are not nearly as angry with me as you ought to be. If you're going to attack me, I should have earned it.
Yes. By all means, carry on destroying my possessions. I dare say I have too many.
Yes. And then he's like, it's almost entirely my fault that Sirius is dead. And Harry's like, but the portrait said it was my fault. Dumbledore's like, well, like, technically, yes, it is your fault.
Yes,
but...
if you look at in the more immediate sense, yes, but bigger picture.
I mean, it's my fault for ever bringing you to Hogwarts, because if you weren't here, then surely Sirius would have never ended up in the Ministry. Do you see what I'm saying, Harry?
Really, I should have just left you at the Dursleys all these years.
Yes.
Never having you any the wiser.
Really, I should have just left you without a blanket outside your aunt's door. You would have died of exposure, and then she would have had to deal with you. And then I could have washed my hands and partied like the jolly gay man I am.
Could have hit those hardcore clubs, Harry. I had the glow sticks and everything.
They would have been rammed, you see, because the Dark Lord had just fallen. So we could all be our true selves. Many men got sick that night, Harry, but they didn't die for a few years later, so no one could trace it back to me, you see. Ah, the 80s. Oh, God. Yeah, Dumbledore's like, you never should have believed Sirius was in the Ministry, and if I'd been open, you would have known that Voldemort might have tried to lure you there.
Yeah, he does the whole I see now the error of my ways spiel.
Yeah, has he had that before in other books? Like, oh, I've done this wrong kind of thing.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Even though he arguably should have.
Yeah. Oh, God, but yeah, Harry sits down and then Phineas is like, am I to understand the last of the Blacks is dead? And Dumbledore's like...
He's like, no, they're still at large. Oh, you mean the Black family, right?
Yes, they're still making that rib-tickling music. Yeah. I don't want to like it, Phineas, but it's just got such a dirty bass line.
Making me eat their jerk chicken.
I mean, who knew I would love Beyonce so much? Ah, alas.
Alas.
Yeah, and then Phineas leaves to go to Grimwald Place to check. And Harry has a vision of Phineas going through all the portraits and calling out Sirius's name and not hearing anything back, and that makes him, like, even sadder.
Mm.
Yeah, he's like, I guess there might be a connection between you and Voldemort when your scar hurt every time it hurts.
Yeah.
And then the ability of yours to detect his presence has become more pronounced over the years.
And Harry's like, yes, I already know this.
Yes, and he's like, the attack on Arthur. Did you not wonder why I've been blanking you all year?
Yes, I wondered.
I wondered. And then Dumbledore was like, I knew it couldn't be long before Voldemort forced his way into you and made you his dirty slave. But I was like, no.
Harry, I knew you would accept the role willingly.
Oh, God. And then he says that Creature had lied to Harry in the fireplace.
And then yeah.
And then basically, I think we might cut this out of the episode that I talked about it in. But when Sirius told Creature to get out before Christmas, Creature took it literally and went to the Malfoys' house where Narcissa and Bellatrix were. And then they had said to him, look, find a way to keep Sirius out of the way when Harry has this vision. And so on that day, he injured Buckbeak. And then Sirius was tending to Buckbeak upstairs when Harry appeared in the fireplace. So, yeah. And Harry's like, oh, that little fucking shit. And Dumbledore's like, no. I warned Sirius, a true creature with kindness and respect, because he could be a danger to us otherwise. Creature is what he has been made to be by wizards. And I'd have been like, for fuck's sake, as soon as you guys got into that house, one of you should have just taken Creature into the bathroom, avoided him, and then just flushed him down the toilet. Like,
well, I've expressed my...
I know, but look, he would have saved everyone.
Well, he wouldn't have saved Creature, would it?
No, but he's only a half person. It's fine.
All right, Hermione.
I wonder if you can command a house elf to kill themselves.
Hmm.
Because maybe then Dumbledore could have just opened up a window and said, Creature, go jump. And Creature would have been like, ah, oh, blah, blah, blah. And Dumbledore's like, up you go. And the Creature just leapt out the window, splatted on the pavement. Dumbledore's like, Ivanesco, just shut the window, sprayed some air freshener, then went about his way.
There we go.
Yeah.
No loose ends now.
Yeah, then Dumbledore just says, sit down, Harry, which you already are, but if you can sit down even more. Harry's like, I'll try.
Sit on the floor, Harry.
Lay on the floor, face on the carpet. And then he's
face
like,
down, ass up.
I'm going to tell you everything. Yeah, so Dumbledore tells him everything.
Yeah, he does. Explains why he needed to be at the Dursleys. And it was, yeah, to do with more than just the trace, which is all what I could trace? Remember. You know, the 17-year-old trace thing.
Yeah, I told you about what the blood spell was, like, ages ago.
Yeah, well, I'd forgotten that as well.
See, Tom just doesn't listen to me.
I do not.
But yeah, he told Petunia in the letter he left with Harry on the doorstep about the pact and the blood spell and stuff.
Yeah, because it was, yeah, your mother's blood. As long as you can still call home the place where your mother's blood dwells, Voldemort cannot touch you. As long as you return there at least once a year, you can still call it home and he can't get you.
And then he says that Harry asked him in book one while Voldemort tried to kill him as a baby, and Dumbledore dreaded being asked that.
Yeah, he calls it book one.
Yeah, he was like, no, Harry, you were too young for me to tell you about how Voldemort did things. And then he's like, I didn't want to tell you in book two because you were barely older than you were in book one.
Yes.
Same for book three and same for book four.
Yep, pretty much. Now, tonight, I have to tell you because it seems appropriate for the larger plot.
Yes, tonight, Matthew, I'm going to be honest. Yeah, and then he's like, Voldemort tried to kill you because he heard a prophecy made shortly before your birth. He didn't hear it all. So he's been looking to hear it in its entirety. That's the weapon he's been looking for, the knowledge of how to destroy you, Harry.
Yes.
And then,
yeah. Oh, yeah, and Harry's like, yeah, it's been destroyed, it's gone. And he's like, well, that glass orb was just a record kept by the Ministry. Somebody made that prophecy to someone else, and that someone can recall it perfectly.
And Harry was like, he had a feeling that he knew what Dumbledore was about to say.
Ask me who it is, Harry. Ask me who heard the prophecy.
And Harry's like, well, I think we all know.
And ask me, Harry.
And he's like, who made the prophecy?
I did.
Yeah, and then he sticks his head in a bowl and then squirts out his memories into it.
Yep, exactly like that.
Trelawney appears in the bowl.
Yeah, and says the following.
Do one with the power to vanquish a dark lord in front of
him. Born to them who have defied him thrice.
Born as the seventh month dies, and the dark lord will mark him as his equal. But we will have power the dark lord knows not. And either must die at the hand of the other, because neither can live while the other survives. The one with the power to vanquish the Dark Lord will be born as the seventh month dies. Yeah, and then so Dumbledore says the odd thing is that it could have referred to Neville Longbottom.
Yeah, and Harry's like, then it might not be me. And Dumbledore's like, I'm afraid that it certainly is you. The second part of the prophecy, Voldemort will, the Dark Lord will mark him as his equal. And he did. He chose the boy who thought would be the most threat to him.
Oh god. And then Dumbledore says, like, you have the power that you have that he knows not is love, Harry. So much love. You got love coming out of your ears.
Yes, look at it seeping out of you.
Look, it's so red and coppery.
You should probably get that checked.
But he talks about the room I was talking about in the Department of Mysteries.
Yes, he said the drive that made you go and rescue Sirius tonight, that is the power. The
power. You got the power!
Yes. And then Harry asks, neither can live while the other survives. Does that mean that one of us has got to kill the other one? Dumbledore just says, yes.
Yes. And then Dumbledore's thinking, he doesn't know that I added that bit.
Does that mean that no one else can kill either Voldemort or Harry?
No. Do you know, I was waiting for this extra bit to be said, and I think it happens in a different book. So but it must be in book 6, because Dumbledore says it. Or maybe it's in even in book 7, in like the King's Cross bit. But Dumbledore says, don't you see that both of you could completely walk away from this? But it's because of, like, the characters that you two both have, that neither of you will let the other one live while the other one survives. So it's you guys are sort of enacting a self-fulfilling prophecy in the way that Voldemort made the prophecy true by acting on it in the first place.
Mm.
The last half of it is only true because neither of them could stomach to let the other live while they're also alive in the world. So that's what's going to make it come true, even though they could, if they wanted to, choose to like shake hands and go their separate ways.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
And then he's like, and I bet you're wondering why I didn't make you a prefect.
Yeah, Harry's like, well, I couldn't really give a fuck right now, actually, but I see you've got a thing to say, so go on.
And Dumbledore's like, you see, Harry, I've never really liked you that much, and I really thought that making your best friend a prefect instead would really put the nail in the coffin.
Yeah, it might fucking humble you a little bit.
Yes, I thought that you might not kill Sirius if I didn't make you prefect, but I see that plan failed.
Talk about self-fulfilling prophecies.
No, he says, I thought that you had enough to be getting on with.
Yes. End of the chapter.
Yeah, really, he should have then just given him a prefect badge.
It doesn't mean anything. Ron's still a prefect. It's more of a symbolic gesture.
What he should have said is, Harry, I give you full permission. I want you to go and find your friend Ron. I know he's in the hospital wing. I want you to rip that badge from his robes and say that you're the prefect now, and that it was never meant to be you, Ron, and everybody hates you.
You're a shit keeper.
Yeah, you're a shit keeper.
You keep shit, Ron.
That's a new spell, so that we don't ever have to poo again. We make you the shit keeper, and only you poo. And Ron's like, why are you doing this to me? Harry's like, I don't know, Dumbledore said.
It's not my fault you got to be the shit keeper.
So what does a shit keeper do? I think you literally just spend the rest of your life sat on a pot.
Yes, you have to poo everyone else's poos.
Yeah. I mean, we were going to make it one of the house elves, but Dumbledore was like, no.
Ron needs to learn his place.
Oh, gosh, yeah, chapter 38.
The Second War Begins. The article in The Prophet, Fudge confirms that Voldemort's back, the Dementors are no longer in the employ of the Ministry, and they're reading it all in the hospital wing.
So I wonder who is looking after Azkaban at the moment then. Do you think just Aurors?
Maybe. I mean, there can't be that many of them to spare, although I suppose keeping Death Eaters in Azkaban is a pretty important, like, is it worthy of Aurors' time, even if there aren't many of them.
Yeah, they maybe should have, just to keep it under control, they maybe should have went through and maybe just like avarded everyone who was in there in like on a life sentence, so that would make it a bit more manageable.
You just want to kill people so often.
It just solves everything, Tom.
But it doesn't, it's... All right, I'm not going to explain why again. The Quibbler have sold their interview with Harry to the Daily Prophet for a good price.
Yeah, because the Prophet's very complimentary of Harry now.
Yes, he's fought his way through ridicule and slander, and they neglect to mention that they were the ones ridiculing and slandering him.
Yes, and then Hermione and Ron are in the hospital wing with their injuries. Hermione's... I really liked this little like throwaway line, but Madame Pomfrey had said to Hermione that if Dolohov had been able to talk and say a verbal version of the spell he did at Hermione, her condition would have been a lot worse. But because it was a non-verbal spell, they were able to like fix her up so she wouldn't have any lasting damage. And I really liked that had been put in there. So that, I guess, because, you know, so many times we've been like, why didn't they just say it as a non-verbal so they wouldn't know it was coming?
Yeah, not as potent.
And, yeah, and like I liked that she kind of put that little bit of explanation in. So I was like, oh, okay, I can get on board with that then.
Yeah.
Flitwick got rid of the swamp.
Yeah, very in like 3 seconds, but he left a little bit of it in the corner as like a cheeky monument.
I thought that was nice. They should try and like study like the wildlife that grows there.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then Dumbledore rescued Umbridge from the forest.
Yeah, he just went in there by himself and just came out carrying her. No one
probably
knows
like,
how.
Of course he did. He's such a G.
Yeah. And now Umbridge is lying in the hospital wing, clearly traumatized. It's unclear whether it's a result of the centaurs or Dumbledore's actions.
Yes, Pomfrey was like, she's never seen a gape that large before, but she'll try and stitch it up as best she can.
Oh dear, she's lost nearly all of her sherbet.
Oh God, I mean, I've heard that horse penises are rather large, but I never knew they could do this much damage. And I'm just like, there was no horse. And she's like, oh, and then she goes into her office and she has like a special book that says like a Dumble-incident and just writes it in there. Oh, I'm going to need a new folder soon.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Harry goes to visit Hagrid.
Yeah, he can't decide whether he wants to be in company or alone. And then he decides he really will go and see Hagrid. But yeah, on the way he sees Malfoy and Crabbe and Goyle.
Oh, yeah, Malfoy's like, you're dead, Potter.
You're dead for what you've done.
He's like, no, you're thinking of my mother.
And my father and my godfather.
In fact, everyone I've ever loved. Yeah. That's who you're mistaking me for.
They reach for wands, and then Snape emerges and he's like, steady on, Potter, what are you doing? And he just says, I'm trying to decide what curse to use on Malfoy, sir.
Yeah, and he goes, I don't fancy that. How about I take some points away just to add some insult to injury? And then he's like, but you haven't got any points left in the hourglass. So, like, you've lost all your points as well as all your relatives. How coincidental.
I suppose we'll just have to add some more.
And Harry's like, oh my god, I'm getting more relatives. And G's like, No, don't be silly, young boy. You're completely alone in this world. What I can do is give you some lovely points. Yeah. And then she gives each of them like 50 points for alerting the world to Voldemort. And I was like, that's shit.
Yeah.
Give them 200 points each.
Wow, that's a bit much.
Well... She should have invoked the all the points prophecy, I think.
Yeah. Fill the castle with red beads.
Ah, oh, this is what happens when you gush in winter, you see. Oh god, but yeah,
50 points for Harry, Ron, Hermione, Neville, Ginny, and then 50 to Ravenclaw for Luna as well. And you wanted to take 10, Snape, is that right? Yep, okay, good.
Yeah, Harry heads outside and goes down to Hagrid's hut. He's like, I fancy a bite to eat. Oh, and Hagrid's like, oh, free starter for anyone who recently lost everyone they loved. Oh, look, our first customer.
Yeah, he offers him a cup of dandelion juice.
Harry's like, well, it's better than dog piss.
Yeah, it's better than Fang's piss, I suppose.
I'll take it.
Still, though, dandelion juice sounds horrible.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Because I bet it's not, like, nice and processed like it would be, like, the muggle. It's funny, just ripped up a fucking batch of dandelions, put them in a kettle, and poured it out. He's not even boiled it. But yeah, he goes, you know what, Harry, Sirius would have wanted to go in battle. And Harry's like, he wouldn't have wanted to go at all.
Yeah, and he's like, wow, don't be a dickhead. Sirius wasn't one to sit about at home, was he? And then Harry's just like, look, I need to go visit Ron and Hermione in hospital.
And Harry's like, all right, well, come back when you lose someone else. I'll have another pot of dandelion tea and some free chicken dippers. Harry's like, thanks.
They're definitely chicken. No matter what anyone tells you.
Yeah, don't worry about the foreskin. And as Harry walks across like the lawn, he calls out, he's like, Harry, whatever anyone says, it was all your fault, okay?
Sirius would still be here if it weren't for you and your rash actions. All right, have a good day.
And slams the door.
He sits by the lake and broods, basically.
Yeah, I feel so sorry for him, I do. But then I'm so mad at him as well.
Yeah?
Yeah, but then he did try and check at least, and Creature did confirm it, so it's kind of not Harry's fault, really.
Yeah, no, it's not really.
Yeah, that's what we tell him anyway.
He just, yeah. I mean, to be fair, Voldemort is, like, fucking Voldemort powerful, and Harry fell into a trap that was set by him, which, like...
Yeah, and Sirius didn't need to show up at the end.
No.
And really, it's Bellatrix's fault. Do you know what? Actually, it's Sirius's fault for... trying to land like a jibe at Bellatrix, because that he said that and then she hit him with a curse.
Yeah, he went for style over substance.
Yeah, really, he should have survived a cadaver as soon as he could. He should have just walked into that room, put his hand over his eyes and just swung his wand about shouting Avada Kedavra and just hoped it would have.
So there's some time passes. Ron and Hermione get out of hospital. Umbridge tries to leave quietly, but Peeves alerts the whole... It's taking Fred and George's parting words to the bitter end. Alerts the whole school and starts whacking her with a walking stick, and everyone comes out and, like, jeers her out the door.
See, Harry starts packing his bags the night before they're about to go. Or was it the day of? I can't remember.
It's while everyone else is at the feast, and he's, like, taking his time packing.
So is the feast the day before they all go home?
I guess so.
Okay, so yeah, he's taking his time, and then he finds Sirius's present in the bottom of the trunk.
He gets all excited because he thinks he's going to be able to speak to Sirius again, wherever Sirius is now. And he tries to call Sirius through the mirror and gets nothing, and just throws it back in the trunk and it smashes.
Boop, boop. The number you have dialed has not been recognised. And Harry's like, oh.
He wrong numbered me.
Oh, God, Sirius. He throws the mirror back in the trunk. Have we explained what the two-way mirror was?
It says, it smashes when he throws it back in the trunk.
Yeah, it does, but not into like little tiny bits. It just like splits.
Just like breaks. So it's still this one that he uses later on.
Yeah, I can't even with everything in that book. It's just all such fucking... It's all spoon, Tom. So then he's like, I've got a great idea. So he goes to find Nearly Headless Nick.
Oh, yeah.
And Nick's like, oh, I've been expecting this. Fine, where do you want me? And Harry's like, what? Be careful, Harry. I'm so cold, you see.
Yes.
It might just shrivel back up and just invert. Oh, can you imagine that?
It'd be like that time you banged Myrtle on the side of the prefect's bath. Only gayer.
And Harry's like, actually. I wanted to know if you can bring my dead godfather back. And he's like, fine, if you want a three-way party. No. Not today. And Nick is like, look, Harry, no, like, look, sometimes a wizard can choose to stay on as a ghost.
Yes, but people hardly ever do. They can choose to move on to the next realm, or they can leave a pale mark of themselves in the place where they dwelled, but most don't choose to.
And Harry's like, fine. And then he leaves, and then he sees Luna putting notices up around the castle.
Yeah, people have been taking her stuff, and she needs it back, because it's the end of term, and she was hoping to pack tonight.
I felt so sorry for her.
Yeah.
And she's so, like, good about it, you know? Because Harry's like, why do people keep taking your shit? And she's like, people think I'm a bit odd, you see. You know, they call me Loony Lovegood. And I was like, yeah, I know. We call you that all the time.
Of course, yeah. Hermione's called you it with you in the room before. She says she's sorry about Sirius. And Harry feels he doesn't mind it coming from Luna.
He remembers that she can see thestrals, and he says, have you ever known anyone who's died? And she's like, oh, yes, my mother. She died. She was a brilliant witch, but she liked to experiment with magic, and one day it went horribly wrong, and she passed away. I was 9. And Harry's like, oh, fuck, man, I'm sorry. And she's like, yes, it was rather horrible. I do feel very sad about it sometimes, but it's okay. I've still got Dad. And it's not like I won't see her again. And Harry's like, what?
She's like, yeah, you heard those voices behind the veil.
And I was like, what, the ones telling me to lick anus? And she's like, yes, that's what all the ghosts do afterwards, Harry. They go to Lick Anusylvania, and it's a tropical paradise where all everyone does is lick anus.
Yes.
So when we die, we can go and lick anus, and we get to lick anus with our mums and dads and our grandparents and everyone we've ever loved. And I was like, wow, I don't think I can wait. And snaps his own neck, and Luna's like, oh. Another one bites the dust.
Moves on to the Rimfest.
But she says farewell, and Harry feels less bad afterwards.
Yes.
The thought that one day he would get to lick anus with Sirius buoyed his spirits.
And his mum and dad.
Also, I love the idea that licking anus, they're just like disembodied anus.
with little wings.
Yeah. See, on the train home, the Slytherin trio, which they haven't got a name as a collective, and
I know I keep having to write Malfoy, C, and G.
Yeah.
I want to write like the Gutworth. If the main three are the Golden Trio, what are they? The Shitty Trio.
Why are the main three the Golden Trio?
Oh, because that's just what nerds call them.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I've never heard that before, and I don't intend to use it. I was just calling them the trio, so what can the Slytherin ones be? The Trifecishes. There we go.
The Trifeces.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah. So, yeah, the Trifeces try and attack Harry outside the cabin, but the cabin's full of DA members.
Yeah, they all emerge from various places and blast them.
Harry's like, boo cocky!
Have a game of soggy Slytherin. And they see Cho, and someone, Harry asks, like, what's going on with you two now? Harry's like, nothing. And Hermione says she's seeing someone else, and Ginny's like, yeah, she's with Michael Corner now.
And Harry's like, Mula Corner? And she's like, yes.
Wow, he gets about, doesn't he? Beast.
Yeah, fruity, crunchy, he puts it everywhere. I guess now he's sweet and sour.
Whereas Ginny's moved on to that reggae reggae.
Oh god. Ginny's dating Dean Thomas now, and Ron's like, what?
Yeah.
Harry doesn't want to get off the train.
Yeah, because it means he's got to go back to his shitty life at the Dursleys, even though he understands why he needs to go back there now.
Which I think Dumbledore could have told him that part of it years ago, I think.
Yeah.
It would have made it more, like, easier for Harry to get his mind around having to stay there, I feel.
Yeah, it's almost like the author hadn't thought of it yet.
But yeah, when he gets over the other side of the barrier, like, all of the Order are there, practically.
Yeah, Moody, Tonks, Lupin, and Mr. and Mrs. Weasley, and Fred and George.
Why Fred and George there?
Don't know. They're in swanky new dragonhide suits.
Oh, yeah, because they're making, like, tons of money from the joke shop.
Making bank.
They say that they want to have a chat with Harry's aunt and uncle about how he's treated.
Oh, yeah. So they walk over and Mr. Weasley introduces him. He's like, I don't know if you remember me. My name's Arthur Weasley.
Yes, I gave you that coal fire last, a few years ago. And he's like, yes, don't remind me. Then he looks at Petunia and she's like, what?
She's standing with her legs wide yeah. open.
I have to find some way of browning my conkers. Sometimes I just put a marshmallow down there and you wouldn't believe how gummy it gets, but it's a good sealant, you see.
Like Moody and Tonks are just there like, we wanted to talk about.
Yeah, and Tonks' pink hair seems to offend Aunt Petunia.
Of course it fucking does.
Yeah, she's like, oh, you dirty lezzer. Tonks is like, excuse me?
I actually have a werewolf boyfriend.
They say, look, if we've like, if you're giving Harry a hard time, we'll find out about it and we'll be in touch. So don't fuck about.
No fucking about.
Yeah.
Yes. And then they all say goodbye.
Yeah. Mrs. Weasley say they'll have Harry away from there as quick as they can.
Yes.
Ron and Hermione says they'll promise to see him soon. And they get a bit like emotion. They hug.
Yep.
And Harry can't express what it means to him to see them all there.
No. Because it doesn't mean anything.
I'm a cold, dead husk inside now.
Yes. Now Sirius is gone.
Baby, when he's gone. Now he's gone.
B-b-b-b-da-da. See that one?
Yeah.
But I don't know what the words are.
I don't. Now Sirius is gone. When he's gone. Harry's all alone. He's alone. The days go on and on. And, the comedy escapes me.
Yeah. what weird lyrics.
Can you imagine if that's just how the song ended?
Yeah. Well, Harry never had much comedy to begin with. So, yeah, Harry wanders off into the sunset carrying his trunk with the Dursleys in his wake. The end.
Yeah, so what do we think?
Oh, it's bloody nice ending, wasn't it?
Yeah, I thought it was good. I like how sort of quickly everything moved.
Yeah.
Like even the Dumbledore explainy chapter wasn't like long.
No, it wasn't really. It wasn't too laborious to get through the end. It doesn't do a fucking Lord of the Rings at the end.
I remember seeing the last film and thinking it was ending about 7 times.
Yeah.
I was like, ugh.
Exactly. It doesn't do that. It gets on with it.
Yeah.
Which is nice. But yeah, the book overall, I really like.
Like none of the bits that wound me up before wound me up as much this time.
Hmm. So the episode after this is going to be our Q&A.
Yeah, our magic Q&A where AMA. You ask us... Oh, I guess so, yeah. Yeah, ask me anything or antlers mean anus or...
Anthills?
Antagonite. Any muggle...
Just anus again.
Yeah, anus. It's just anus. Anus means anus.
Yeah, so next week it's our anus means anus episode.
Yeah. So yeah, come back next week for what we're hoping will be some thrilling tales.
Yes, and some funny perspectives on any questions you might have for us. Let us know what's going on with you. We can dole out life advice.
Yes, and we are sure that whatever we say will improve your life 100%.
Yes. Your life will be doubly as good as it is right now.
Yeah. Yeah, so without further ado, I've been Gifton.
And I've been Tom.
And anus has been anus.